Including those of the senators that are here, I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll, but I think we'll wait.
We don't have a quorum.
All these hard-working committees in the Senate are... Do we have a quorum? Okay, please call the roll.
Roll call for Monday, February 19th. Agar?
Present.
Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Excused.
Excused. Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Excused.
Richard?
Excused.
Burns?
Excused.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Present.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Excused.
Driscoll?
Excused.
Ellis?
Present.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Excused.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Excused.
Landon?
Excused.
Meyer.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nethercott.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Fladern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Wasserberger.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Bouchard. Burns, Dockstetter, no, Driscoll, Kinski, Landon, President Bebap.
Here.
24 present, 6 excused.
Prayer this morning will be by the Father Jason Dickey of the Greek Orthodox Church of St. Constantine. Welcome to the Senate. Please stand.
Phone, please. All right. Well, thank you and thank God. Before we begin, I was asked to bring to your attention the passing of Tom Lockhart from Casper. Please keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers. Pray that the Lord give him rest in a place where there is no pain, sorrow, and suffering, but life everlasting. So let us pray to the Lord, Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who are present everywhere, filling all things. Cleanse us. Sorry. Let's all pray together this morning instead. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. All right. Sometimes the passing of our brothers who have served us in this state and our families can leave us at a loss for words. I never met Tom, but I certainly know that you have, so forgive me for my confusion this morning. All right.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. Okay, you too. Well, members of the Senate, Senator Kinski.
President, here. Missed roll call. My apologies.
Member of the Senate, the father mentioned the passing of an incredible Wyoming citizen, Tom Lockhart. You know, and I know many of you in this body have served with him. A lot of you may not have, but he was really what Wyoming was all about. Loved this state. Went to the University of Wyoming, got his degree in electrical engineering. Obviously, he left the state for a while, but he couldn't get back here soon enough and had a tremendous career in the private sector and then chose public service. And Wyoming is a much better place for him having chosen to be in public service and for the commitment he made to our great state. He served from 2011 to 16, Senators Case, Wasserberger, Burns, myself, let's see, who else in the House? Senator Hastert served with Tom in the House. He was chairman of Minerals for many, many years. Nobody worked any harder than Representative Lockhart and his wonderful family and his wife, Lynn, and I think most of his children. Senator Perkins helped me out, but I think they all have degrees in electrical engineering from the University of Wyoming. There was not a more committed person to Wyoming, what Wyoming's all about, than Tom Lockhart. And, you know, we just have to remember the positive side, and what a loss for all of us. So we just move on. That's what he would want us to do, and we will. Did anybody else like to mention anything or say anything, any of his colleagues from Natrona County? Okay. Senator Case.
I just remember how tough Representative Lockhart was. I don't know if y'all remember, but he had a hip put in, and it didn't work, and they had to take it back out, and they had to control an infection. And he went through an entire session without a hip, and he had to drag his leg with his hand. It's unbelievable, and he did that. He was the toughest guy. He'll be missed.
Okay, we've got a job to do, members of the Senate. We'll start with the reading clerk. Please read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports the Journal of February 16, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Dr. Amy Shaw, Ian's wife. From Cheyenne, welcome. Good to have you. Nurse for today is Marissa Van Fleet from Rocky Mountain Care. She is not here yet. Today in Wyoming history, the State Highway Commission was created. Anyone want to guess the year? None of us were born then, I will tell you that. 1917. Today is day six of the proposed 20-day session. You all reminded that we're going to work the budget bill this week. Committee of the Whole today, tomorrow, day off Wednesday. Your amendments need to be in for second reading by tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Right, Wednesday, second reading of the budget. We'll do second reading then. We take Thursday off, and then we do the third reading amendments on Friday. You have to have your amendments in, proposed amendments in by 5 o'clock on Thursday. And also that Friday is the last day for Committee of the Whole out of House of Origin. Today we celebrate President's Day. And since I get to sit up here and decide which presidents I want to quote, I'm going to do that. And certainly if you don't like what I'm going to quote, who I'm going to quote, that's too bad. First one is Andrew Jackson. Any man worth his salt will stick up for what he believes right. But it takes a slightly better man to acknowledge it instantly and without reservation that he is in error. Abraham Lincoln, Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves and under a just God cannot long retain it. George Washington, it is a duty of all nations to acknowledge in the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favors. Ronald Reagan, the best minds are not in government. If any were, business would hire them away. That's happened to us, hasn't it? And last but certainly not least, Theodore Roosevelt, it's hard to fail, but it's worth never to have tried to succeed. In this life, we get nothing saved by effort. Reports from standing committees.
February 16, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred Senate File 15, Large Project Account Modifications, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chair. February 16, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 1, to whom was referred Senate File 74, Crimes Against Critical Infrastructure, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott, Senator Christensen, Chair. February 16, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred Senate File 40, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. No, Senator Anderson. Senator Coe, acting chairman.
With that order of business, bills on second reading. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 10, Utilities Rate Making.
Senate File 10, having read two separate times, the question is, shall bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? So ordered. Senate File 11, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 11, Public Utility Regulation, Joint Powers Entities.
Senate File 11, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? So ordered. Senate File 31, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 31, Veteran Skilled Nursing Center.
Senate File 31, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objection. So ordered. Senate File 44, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 44, Fire Protection Revolving Account.
Senate File 44, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time? Hearing no objections. So ordered. Senate File 46, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 46, Elections, Notices, and Resolutions.
Senate File 46, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? So ordered. Senate File 58, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 58, Game and Fish Licenses.
Senate File 58, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? So ordered. And Senate File 68, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 68, Amendments to Agency Plans and New Program Review 2.
Senate File 68, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the Senate File be read a third time, hearing no objections? So ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we have a consent list.
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. Senate File 6, Real Estate Exemption Restoration. Senate File 12, Public Service Commission Member Qualifications. Senate File 16, Financial Assurance Class 1 and 5, UIC Wells. Senate File 35, Military Service Relief Act, Additional Protections. Senate File 37, Purple Heart Day and State. Senate File 52, Workers' Compensation Rate Discount. Senate File 53, Small Water Projects. Senate File 54, Water Development Project Requirements. Senate File 61, The Bill of the Session, Hunting Colors, Fluorescent Pink. Senate File 89, Local Government Distributions.
and Senate File 90, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges.
Does any senators wish to have any of the other bills removed from the consent list? Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment on Senate File 63.
It's off the list. He never brought it up, Senator Kinski.
Thank you.
Never mind.
But thanks for reminding us. Any other bills senators wish to have removed from the consent list? Any other bills? Any other Senate files? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 6, Real Estate Exemption Restoration. Senate File 12, Public Service Commission Member Qualification. Senate File 16, Financial Assurance Class 1 and 5 UIC Wells. Senate File 35, Military Relief Act Additional Protection. Senate File 37, Purple Heart Day and States. Senate File 52, Workers' Compensation Rate Discount. Senate File 53, Small Water Projects. Senate File 54, Water Development Project Requirements. Senate File 61, Hunter Colors Fluorescent Pink. Senate File 89, Local Government Distributions. And Senate File 90, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
On the consent list, Agar, Anderson, Anselmi Dalton, Baldwin, Barnard, Boner, Bouchard, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Dockstader, Driscoll, Ellis, Emmerich, Hastert, Hicks, Kinski, Landon, Meyer, Moniz, Nethercott, Pappas, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Scott, Von Fladern, Wasserberger, President Bebout.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 6, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 6, 30-I. Senate File 12, are there any changes?
Bebout, I don't know.
Bebout, I don't know.
Scott, no.
Scott, no.
Bouchard,
I to know.
Ellis,
I
to know.
Coe,
I
to know. Kinski,
I
to know. Perkins, I to know. Boner, I to know. Von Fladern, I to know. Wasserberger, I to know. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 12, 20 aye, 10 no. Senate File 16, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 16, 30-I. Senate File 35, are there any changes? Case, I to know. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 35, 29-I, 1 no. Senate File 37, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 37, 30-I. Senate File 52, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 52, 30-I. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 53, 30-I. Senate File 54, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 54, 30-I. Senate File 61, are there any changes? Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 61, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 89, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 89, 30-I. Senate File 90, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no.
Bebout, aye to no. Agar, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 90, 27 aye, 3 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 6, Real Estate Exemption Restoration, Senate File 12, Public Service Commission Member Qualification, Senate File 16, Financial Assurance Class 1 and 5, UIC Wells, Senate File 35, Military Service Relief Act Additional Protection, Senate File 37, Purple Health, Purple Heart Day and State, Senate File 52, Workers' Compensation Rate Discount, Senate File 53, Small Water Project, Senate File 54, Water Development Project Requirements, Senate File 61, Hunting Colors, Fluorescent Peak, Senate File 89, Local Government Distributions, and Senate File 90, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges, have passed the Senate. Senate File 63, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 63, Interfund Loan Accounts and Interest Rates, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee.
Okay, we have two third reading amendments. Would the reading clerk please read those in?
Senate File 63, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 9. Senate File 63, third reading amendment number 2, page 1, after line 6.
Senator Nethercott. Or Senator Kinski, who is it? Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I would move Senate File 63, third reading amendment number 1, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment is responsive to the rather vigorous and spirited discussion we heard on the Committee of the Whole, and it relates specifically to the fact that this bill puts an interest rate back in on interfund borrowing for the school foundation program. And it was noted that simply the last session, HB 28, had pulled that out. And this is a reversal of direction that we don't want to take. So this amendment would delete that section and leave the balance of the statute unaffected. And Mr. Chairman, I spoke with the chairman of Management Audit, and he said that he was embarrassed as well that he had not caught that, and I dare say that there would be near unanimity on the committee that this was an oversight and that we should not have impacted that contrary to HB 28 from the last session. So on page 2, the operative section is on page the other thing we heard about the debate was this eliminated interfund borrowing just to the LISRA, and there was a question as to why that should be and whether there shouldn't be more flexibility. So on page 2, line 3, which currently strikes general fund or the budget reserve account and inserts legislative stabilization account, it is modified to say legislative stabilization reserve account or the general fund, if insufficient funds exist in the legislative stabilization reserve account. And again, that's what I heard from my colleagues during that first round of discussion about the bills. Second is on page 4, line 8. Let me see. Lines 8 through 9, where they're talking about the interfund borrowing. Doggone it, I kind of lost my place here. Okay, I'm sorry. This is simply a clerical thing that clears up that we're extending it to other funds in addition to where an interest rate is not specified. And then page 5, the balance of it is striking any reference on page 5 and 6 to the school foundation program. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd urge the body's favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 63. All in favor say... Senator Burns.
I've got a question on the bottom of this amendment where you're getting rid of the Senate Standing Committee Amendment. I believe that's the Appropriations Committee Amendment. And I was wondering if I could get an explanation from the sponsor as to what the purpose of this is. As I read it, you're still appropriating $10 million from the school foundation program account for interest payments, but what you're doing is getting rid of the restriction that it can't be spent for any other purpose, and you're also getting rid of the language that saying that money, whatever unobligated portion of that money, shall revert. I don't understand why you would want to get rid of either of those.
Senator Nethercott, do you want to take that before the primary proponent of the amendment speaks for a second time?
Thank you, Mr. President. Because we are removing any reference to the school foundation program account, the appropriation associated with that account has also been removed. Essentially, it's a conforming amendment recognizing the complete deletion of anything relating to the school foundation program account.
Further discussion, Senator Burns, you want to speak for your second time?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I was looking at it shall delete up to line 8, and I was looking at line 8 of the amendment rather than of the bill.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 63. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? That amendment has passed. Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I would move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 63. And members of the Senate, I want you to know that I did have a conversation with the floor manager of this bill. Normally, Mr. President, we try not to bring substantive change on third reading amendment, but this was an item that came to my attention that I thought was worthy of our consideration here in the Senate. As you are well aware, the funding streams that we have normally used for major maintenance of our K-12 schools, our school capital construction account, have dried up. We don't have a funding stream now. The budget that we will begin to look at this afternoon, Mr. President, has that budget taken care of for this biennium. Pending your approval of that budget, we're going to be fine in the school CapCon account to take care of the schools. Going forward, however, I thought it was worthy of our consideration to consider third reading amendment number 2, because what it does is simply go into the bill and allow for the interfund borrowing by the school capital construction account. It does not change anything on the amendment that we just passed. This is an addition to the bill, which simply says in the future, if we ever have a cash flow difficulty with a major maintenance program or with a construction project, hopefully we can build another school at some time in the future, Mr. President. But that's what this amendment does. It allows for, going forward, the school capital construction account to be a part of this interfund borrowing program if that's ever needed. So I hope you'll give favorable consideration to the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Scott?
Mr. President, and I confess I've just seen this for the first time a few minutes ago, and I may be off here, but I'm thinking aloud. As was said, we have a major problem. Our revenue source for our school capital construction, including the major maintenance, has flat out dried up. And it doesn't look like, Mr. President, it's going to come back to any significant degree in the foreseeable future. I wonder if we pass this amendment, if we aren't putting ourselves at risk, not in this biennium, which I understand has been accommodated in the budget bill, if we agree to that, but in the future, if we aren't putting ourselves at risk defining we have kicked the can down the road by borrowing money against revenues that aren't going to exist and just get ourselves in a great big hole, and I have real reservations about this amendment, and maybe somebody in the body can spot something I'm not seeing, but at this point, Mr. President, absent being convinced that we aren't at risk of that scenario, I've got to be a no vote on this amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Maybe like my tall friend from Natrona County, just misunderstand this, but the way that since this is an entirely new section, what my concern is very similar. It doesn't limit it anybody from borrowing from the Common School Permanent Land Fund for any reason, for any purpose. I mean, the only restriction on it is that they're not insufficient revenues. So I'm wondering if we shouldn't have some. I think the intent was that these would be projects that have been approved, but cash flow has been sufficient to do it, and it's more of a timing issue rather than just an ability to get it revenue. And I'm wondering if we don't need some language that limits that a little bit further before we vote this through. If that's the case, I'd like an explanation of why we're okay. Otherwise, I think that's potentially where it's at. We may be opening up the ability to just tap the corpus of the Common School Permanent Land Fund for schools whenever there's not enough revenue, and that'd be my concern.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President. Mr. President, I understand the concerns, but I think this language is innocuous and simply allows for that cash flow, because it specifically on line 10 states to enable statutory payments to be made when dedicated revenues are not yet received. So we have to have appropriated the money through the CapCon bill or elsewhere to allow for this interfund loan to take place from the Common School Permanent Land Fund over to the school capital construction account. We did not, for the school capital construction account, we did not project revenues anywhere that I know of that are not concrete revenues. I mean, those are all streams that will be realized, that they're not projected based on market returns. So this is not a very scary piece of language. It is just cash flow. I'm going to support it. It makes good sense to me. And I don't see it as speculative. So I hope the body will support it. If not, if there needs to be some more clarification, then maybe we do just need to lay it back. But I think this is a good idea to get in one way or another so that we can ensure we've got appropriate cash flow where needed.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, thank you. As the bringer of the amendment did mention, he'd mentioned this to me, and as he mentioned in his comments, this is outside the scope of what Management Audit Committee was originally charged with. This is a fairly substantive change. So I'd simply repeat, Senator, my friend from Bates Creek's caution that we never really had a chance to really examine this, turn it over, take a look at the implications of it. And I am a little bit concerned about the prospect of authorizing borrowing when we have yet to identify a source of repayment. We're good for this biennium, and this certainly would make a topic that we've got to look at in the coming years, but I just don't know if this is the time and the place for it. On and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hicks.
Just a quick question. It looks like me that is, and I don't know this, but it looks like we could end up with a chain borrowing scenario under this, that you borrow out of one fund to fund, so the money would flow into the construction account, but we borrowed that from the common land fund. But if that fund then became depleted, then that fund could then borrow out of some of the general funds or LSRA. So are we not creating a potential chain borrowing effect here that goes back and getting to my colleague here from Sheridan County's concerns is what's the long-term ramifications for this if, in fact, chain borrowing could occur?
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. It says right in here that to enable statutory payments to be made when dedicated revenues are not yet received, so we must be approving the projects prior to this loan, so I don't see what this would have anything to do with, and they can borrow it out of common school account, which is quite rich these days.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please.
Okay, that is in order. Anybody else for their first time before the sponsor speaks for his second time? Anybody else? Senator Landon, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. Appreciate the debate. And, to borrow a phrase from my good friend from around the corner in Natrona County, we might be worrying about things that go bump in the night here. On the other hand, I don't diminish the fact that this is a policy decision. It does, in my opinion, fit right here in this bill, and thus I brought this amendment to offer this policy to the body. I believe the language is tight enough. The Vice President pointed out that any borrowing is going to be contingent on the fact that capital construction dollars have already been identified, and this is statutory payments. Just what this amendment does, Mr. President, going forward, is simply allow that school capital construction account to cash flow. I'm hoping that it never has to be used, but there may come a time where we have a major project underway. We know how sensitive the construction season is in Wyoming. We know how difficult that can be. So this allows for the opportunity, if we ever have to avail ourselves of it, to cash flow the school capital construction account just like we are some of the other accounts. And so I'd urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
The ayes and nays have been called for. The chief clerk, please call the roll. We're voting on third reading amendment number two. Third reading amendment number two to Senate file 63.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll? I'm sorry, Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 15 aye, 15 no.
Senate File 2 has failed. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 63 has failed. Are you ready for the question on the Senate file? Senate File 63, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the Senate file pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner? Aye. Bouchard? No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate File 63, 28 aye, 2 no.
Senate File 63, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 63 has passed the Senate. Standing committee reports.
February 19, 2018, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 1, to whom is referred Senate File 86, DUI Recidivism Reduction, Driving Privilege Sanctions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott, Senator Christensen Chair. February 19, 2018, Mr. Presidential Committee Number 1, to whom was referred Senate File 94, Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at the order of business consideration of bills on general file. Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All in favor?
Of bills on general file.
Okay. You heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Pappas.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 70. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 70, Revisers Bill, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to the revision of statutes, was referred to Committee Number 12, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Hastert, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Bebout, Chair.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee hold rise the report to do so with a favorable consideration. Senate File 70 do pass. There's a standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, I ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 70, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 9.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would yield to my colleague, the Senator from Sweetwater County, to explain the Standing Committee Amendment and the bill.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate.
Senate File 70, the Revisor's Bill, sponsored by the Management Council. As most of you know, that one just kind of does some corrections and cleanup work on statutes. And so just walking through the bill real quick, Mr. Chairman, if you look on page 2, lines 9 and 12, it moves or to Romanet 6 because the list of acts constituting animal cruelty ends at Romanet 7. Page 2, lines 20, strikes the cross-reference to 64403 and E because they don't exist. That is 64403B V subsection D. And then corrects cross-referencing to subparagraph 4D, which provides no person shall knowingly. And then on to page 3, lines 13 and 14, 76104C, 8 is stricken because it doesn't exist. Page 4, lines 4 and 11 and 14, the and is moved up to Romanet 1 because Romanet 3 was repealed last session. Page 4, lines 22, corrects the sentence so it makes sense. Page 5, line 19, corrects the drafting error. That should be a then. Page 6, line 6, and then also line 17 and 18. In 2012, the legislature changed the name of the Wyoming Public Finance website to the Wyoming Public Finance and Expenditure for Funds website. So that just corrects that. And then on page 7, lines 4 and 10 and 11, that's the same as what I just explained. On page 7, line 16, subsection B was repealed in 2001, so there's no need to withstand it. Page 8, lines 14 and 15, the definition of animal under 11-29-101A, little I, was repealed in 2011. And then on page 9, lines 3 and 4, strikes an obsolete reference to 42 U.S.C. 29-291I. That was codified, the reference to public laws on page 2, but was omitted when Congress revised Title 42 of the U.S. Code in 1964 and was not reenacted elsewhere. Page 9, lines 14, 23306 is a mistaken reference. That section addresses prohibitions on the use of aircraft, automobiles, motorized and snow vehicles, and artificial light for hunting or fishing, not conservation stamps. 23.2.306 addresses conservation stamps. Page 10, lines 15, 16, and then 21 and 22, subsections E and F were repealed in 2017, so they should be stricken. And then on page 11, line 2, that's the same as above. Page 11, line 13, corrects a drafting error. That should be a then. And then page 11, lines 21 and 22, administrator is a verb, so it should be defined as such. On page 12, line 19, big change there. Untied states should be United States. Page 13, lines 11, adds a missing and note that 35.7.2104 was created in 2017 and not effective until July 1st, 2018. And then page 13, line 19, 92.10.16H3i is repealed because it's an obsolete provision. And then page 13, starting at line 21 and ending on page 5, line 2, boilerplate section in the revisor's bill saying that if another bill's amendment adopted during this session conflicts with any of the revisor's bill, the other bill's amendment takes precedent, prevails. And that, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, is the revisor's bill. I'd like to handle the deal with the amendment now. And the amendment was read in.
Yes.
I don't know if it's been moved. So I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 70, And, Mr. Chairman, the amendment goes into page 19, lines 9 and 12, insert sections amended as part of the standing committee amendment. And then page 2, above line 1, in 115.505A and 3111B, cross-reference to the Wyoming Rule of Civil Procedures regarding service of summons by certified mail to conform to the changes of the Wyoming Supreme Court made to rules last March. So that covers that section there. And then page 7, line 16, in subsection B was repealed in 2001, so there's no need to withstand it. I believe I said that one already. And then page 7, the bottom, page 7 at the bottom, 9-17-119G strikes lottery in net lottery proceeds because net proceeds is defined, is a defined term under 9-17-103. And then 11-28-103A changes this act to this chapter because this act is usually a defined term, but not, it's not under 11-28-101 through 108. And then, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, page 8, line 15, in 16-3-107G, another cross-reference to the Wyoming Rule of Civil Procedures that needs to be updated due to recent changes to the Supreme Court rules. And then 17-29-203A5 corrects an inadvertent error. Anyway, that's the amendment, and it's been moved, so I ask for your favorable vote on the amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of Senator Hastert's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 70, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate,
the Standing Committee Amendment is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My apologies for jumping in there. That's Senate File 70. If there's any questions, we'll stand for questions. Otherwise, I ask for your favorable consideration on the bill.
Are there any questions on the bill? Hearing the question, all those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 70, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The Senate File 70 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our Senator Meyer.
Yes, may I have privilege to the floor?
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I'd like to have you help me welcome an honored guest down here that's in the gallery. She is the president of Eastern Wyoming College, Dr. Leslie Travers. And Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make the remark that we're doing some really exciting things down at EWC. We're putting together basically a gunsmithing class that's going to work right in dovetail, hand in glove with some of the efforts that we're doing with economic development. And one of the local community colleges on the other side of the Nebraska has dropped the program. And we're going to reinvigorate and enlarge one of the programs in Wyoming to kind of pick up the slack over there. So things are happening in southeast Wyoming.
Okay, thank you. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26. Senator, please read in the bill.
Senate File 26, Nationwide Multistate Licensing System Collection Agencies, an act relating to collection agencies, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass on Senate File 26 for a further explanation on this good bill. I would refer to the former King of the North, Senator Kinski.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill is one of those happy circumstances where the bill is longer than the time necessary to explain it. Our banking agency regulates collection agencies, including out-of-state collection agencies. Currently, that is a DIY, do-it-yourself operation. One staff member devoted a substantial portion of their time by hand to process 500 different out-of-state collection agencies, with another 85 to 90 pending. This authorizes the Banking Commission to join what is called the Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System. That's a national database of state regulatory agencies. It's a centralized repository where these agencies are cleared, and then reciprocity is afforded to all of those registered agencies by the states that belong to it. This would authorize us to join that, do such acts necessary to join that, and save, we're hoping, one FTE that can then be redeployed to higher priority tasks within the division. And I stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions on the bill? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 26, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The bill has, Senate File 70 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File number 18. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 18, Orphan Site Remediation Funding, an act relating to environmental quality, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman, was re-referred to Committee Number 2, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Are you calling on me?
Yes. Senator Von Flatern, you have the floor.
Make sure of that one. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable consideration of Senate File 18. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 18, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 5, line 8.
I move Standing Committee Number 1 to Senate File 18 and to explain this bill and the amendment. I ask that you call upon Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is Senate File 18, Orphan Site Remediation Funding. This was an interim topic for the Joint Minerals Committee. We are amending what is called the corrective action account, which currently exists for leaking underground storage tanks and in the storage tank program that we've had in the state for quite a few years back to 1990. The storage tank program has been incredibly successful, and it generates revenue based on a 1 cent tax on gasoline that is then swapped with federal mineral royalties through a little internal financial maneuver, and that provides this 1 cent fund to continue to remediate any underground storage links that are threats to public interest. In 2015, we took a step further, recognizing that we're actually doing quite well with that leaking storage tank program, and instead of using all of the funds for leaking storage tanks that we're collecting, we put together a system where we would appropriate, moving forward into the future, some of those funds for our landfill remediation program. So we've got two uses then, the solid waste landfill remediation as well as the storage tanks, currently in statute for that corrective action account. But we have some orphan sites throughout the state. These orphan sites are contaminated properties that can pose a potential threat to human health and the environment where there is no viable responsible party. The Department of Environmental Quality came to us trying to work on a solution where we would have some funding available for that, and we decided that we would use some of the corrective action account funds directed towards these orphan sites in addition to where they're currently directed. Currently in the state of Wyoming, there are 13 orphan site projects in remediation and 10 awaiting funding. Those 10 have a price tag of around $10 million. The other two programs are working well, and what this legislation does is go into the corrective account, action account language and add orphan site remediation to that language to allow for the inclusion. So going through the legislation, Mr. Chairman, that's the concept. You can see on page 2, we're simply adding the language orphan site remediation to this corrective account, action account language, conforming language at the top of line 3. And then the way the corrective action account expenditures were formulated when we added the landfill remediation account, you can see at the bottom of page 3 going on to page 4 and page 5, where we do a year-by-year analysis moving forward in time. In 2019, for example, current statute has $2 million going to the solid waste landfill remediation account. This legislation is then going to break it out in all of the future years where $1 million, sort of that first $1 million available, is going to be going to the orphan site remediation account, and then the remainder of that income basically is going to be going to the landfill remediation account. That's how it's drafted now. You'll see that we're going to make a little bit of a change to that when I get to the amendment. Bottom of page 3 onto page 4, we just have the numbers for the future years where the numbers that would be going to the solid waste landfill remediation account are changing year by year, but we're still trying to allocate $1 million to the orphan site remediation account. 2024 through 2028, we changed the language a little bit where we indicate that the director shall, moving on to page 5, determine the expected expenditures from the corrected action account for the underground storage tank, then deposit $1 million of the remainder into the corrective action account for the orphan site remediation, and then use the rest for solid waste landfill purposes. Mr. Chairman, this is the point at which I'll explain Standing Committee Amendment number 1. The concept here is we don't know how much money is available moving out there. So the Standing Committee is amending page 5, line 8, after deposit to include the word up to. So deposit up to $1 million from the remainder of the monies in the corrective action account to provide some flexibility if, for example, there were only $1 million or $2 million. If more money were needed for the other accounts, that would be at the discretion then of the director of the Department of Environmental Quality. And then you can see 2029 and thereafter, it's basically split between the various accounts. Mr. Chairman, that's the legislation. We do also have a Committee of the Whole amendment, which we'll get to after we discuss this topic, which is going to provide a little bit more flexibility. But the key concept here is that we do have the funds available going to this corrective action account. We are not short. Everyone agrees that there are sufficient funds to address the leaking storage tank program. We already have siphoned off a side stream. When funds are available, we will never take more funds than are needed for the leaking storage tank. But if funds are available in any given year from revenue, we can use those for landfill remediation or for the orphan site if this legislation passes and we move forward. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on the amendments. And if there are no questions, I would call for the question on the amendment.
Question on the amendment. Standing Committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 70.
Mr. Chairman, point of order, Senate File 18.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you. The motion to adopt Standing Committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 18. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment to Senate File, amendment number 1 to Senate File 18 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
And, Mr. Chairman, with that, I'd answer any questions on Senate File 18. And as I said, we do have a Committee of the Whole amendment to get to once we've addressed those questions.
Any Senator Bebout?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions on the funding scenario. And the first one, it might be more for the Senate Appropriations Committee Chair. to answer, but, you know, in our goldenrods, we used to have an account set up in there that dealt with the amount of money we set aside for these landfill remediation work. And I, as I recall, we put in 40 or 45 million back when we had money 4 or 5 years ago, and then we reflected that every year as we spent that down. And I'm assuming the reason it's not on the goldenrod is there's no money left. The question I have, if that's the case, to the members of the Minerals Committee is, in terms of the demand out there and the projects we know that need to be taken care of, I understand what we're doing with the LUST program and how we're utilizing the money. Good idea, and I like what you've done. Is there a huge demand out there for projects that are serious enough that we should be thinking about how are we going to take care of those? Have you had any discussion about that funding? What is the amount? What are the projects? And where do we go after this particular year when we essentially, as I think and understand, that we spent all the money we set aside for it?
Senator Von Flatteren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This year we didn't actually dwell upon the landfill remediation, although I know there's some money left in there, but it's all dedicated to, Campbell County Landfill's got one of them. It's the big number on there. So they do have a priority list. It is not shown on the goldenrod this year. I don't believe it is until you brought it up. I didn't really look for it. So we did not deal with it, but the money has all been allocated to projects, and this is the new money that will come in. So we are in the process, and the money has not been spent yet totally, but it is allocated at this point, and I will get better answers for you.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a quick follow-up to the Vice President's comments. Right now, the remediation is underway at 5 of the highest priority landfills. DEQ has determined that they're still capable of cash flowing their current projected project workflow, even with this bill in place, as long as we don't go too deep, which is why we limited it $1 million. Mr. Chairman, we provide some flexibility also for critical needs at the determination of the Department of Environmental Quality and the director there. So if there is some critical circumstance, then he would be able to reappropriate from within the funds and prioritize so that we wouldn't be drawing it away for the orphan site. And again, the Committee of the Whole Amendment actually provides a little more flexibility just in case we find ourselves in a circumstance where the priorities do not necessarily align with the way we've appropriated through the cash flow.
Any further discussion? Senator Von Flatteren.
Mr. Chairman, if it's time for the Committee of the Whole Amendment, I'll read that in at this point.
Senate File 18, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Von Flatteren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Number 1 to Senate File 18, and I'll explain. The page 1, lines 2, 3, 8, and 9 were all inserted to allow this to this amendment to be created in this bill. And then you go to page 3, line 14, where it says not less than. What we were worried about was if he ran out of money, would he have to put not less than $1 million into the orphan funds, and he'd have to take that from some other place? So we said up to. So you strike not less than, and you insert up to. He will put up to that amount of money in there. And then you go clear down to page 6, and you go to line 12, and we insert a reporting, of course. We're wonderful at reports. The director shall submit a report to the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Interim Committee by June 15th, and withheld and the correct. So what we wanted was to know how much money he actually inserted or was created or able to put towards the orphan sites and the landfill remediation, as well as take care of his leaking underground storage tanks, which is the priority in this bill. You take care of leaking underground storage tanks, then you divide up the money between landfill and orphan sites, and we wanted to make sure we knew how much. And the leader is, R is repealed. R said the same thing, that we needed a report, but it didn't have orphan sites in it, so we included that in Q. by those bottom lines on your amendment 22 through 24, those determinations in describing the distributions of monies from the corrective action accounts of the solid waste landfill remediation account and the orphan site remediation account. So we caught both of those in Q, and we deleted R. And that is the whole committee of the whole amendment, sir.
Any discussion on the amendment?
Question?
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Von Flatteren's motion to adopt Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Everybody's got their take on this.
Okay, we're back. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flatteren's motion in favor, all those in favor of Senator Von Flatteren's motion on Senate File 18, that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate File 18 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24. Reading Cook or read the bill.
Senate File 24, Court Information Technology Equipment, an act relating to courts and the counties, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to...
Mike is on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with favorable recommendation on Senate File 24 and present that Senate file to Senator Kinski.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 24, Court Information Technology Equipment, settles a long-standing issue in some counties and some courts as to who is responsible for what. As you know, state statute says that the county commissioner shall supply a courthouse. And back in the day, that was fairly simple. That was a courtroom. And as we advance ahead to all of the new technology that has to be retrofitted into courtrooms, it began to amount to pretty significant money. And while some counties have had no problem allocating which is the court's responsibility and which is the county's responsibility, and others, one or the other lacks the funding or they just can't quite agree. So this settles it at a fairly easy level, which is conceptually what we're talking about is walls out, walls in. The county is responsible for everything outside the walls of the courtroom, and the courtroom is responsible for everything inside those walls. So a quick run through the bill. On page 2, line 3, you'll see that for the Judicial Systems Automation Account, which is collected from every case in the state, we are adding court information technology as a permissible purpose. Previously, it just said software and computer hardware. And then on page 2, line 17 to 21, simply says if the court is going to undertake anything that requires alteration of a county building, they need to coordinate with the county commissioners so that they don't get caught off guard because, of course, everything the walls out is their responsibility. Page 3, lines 1 through 6, simply says that the court will install these in a phased approach and that once installed, the courts shall maintain and support the equipment. Following on lines 8 through 19 are simply the definition of court information technology equipment and state court facility. The operative point there is found on lines 12 through 14, which states court information technology equipment standards adopted by the Board of Judicial Policy and Administration. And that was the commissioner saying, we're willing to fund for a common standard for all courtrooms, but if you've got a local court that wants to go above and beyond, then that's a whole different kettle of fish. So we've got sort of a baseline that's defined there. And then on page 4, paragraph B, lines 4 through 10, we see where each county shall provide and maintain infrastructure to ensure the proper function of court equipment, but not limited to power outlets, network drops, audio-visual drops, associated wiring, endpoints, peripherals, a lot of other language I don't necessarily understand. Finally, on the last page, you'll see that there is a fiscal note, $1.9 million. Please make note that that comes from the Judicial System Automation account. And again, this is based on a fee that is placed upon every case that's filed throughout the state of Wyoming that is dedicated towards this automation. And so this is $1.9 million of overdue technology upgrades in a variety of courtrooms across the state. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I welcome any questions.
Any questions on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 24, say aye.
Oh, no.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 24 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 36, Veterans Tuition Program Limits, an Act Relating to Veterans and Higher Education, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, it do so with a do pass motion on Senate File 36. There was a standing committee amendment. I would ask that the clerk read it in at this time.
Senate File 36, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, lines 5 through 12.
Okay. To explain both the bill and the amendment, I would turn it over to our 18 member, Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Okay. I'm taken aback. 18. We bring to you Senate File 36, and let's dispose of the amendment if we could real quick here, and that's on page 2. Mostly what this amendment...
Senator Baldwin, we need to move the amendment, please.
I move the amendment. Standing Committee Amendment to Number 1 to Senate File 36. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we'll go through that amendment real quick. It's on page 2. It takes lines 5 through 12 on page 2 of this bill and essentially is a cleanup. It takes a lot of gobbledygook of language and much further identifies it and makes it much clearer. As you can read, it just takes deleting what we had on there and making it simple, saying a degree or certificate at a higher level than the student has previously earned using benefits received under this section. And the bottom line of what that means, as previously this bill for the education of the veterans had been used for people obtaining multiple degrees, such as multiple associate's degrees, multiple bachelor's degrees, et cetera, et cetera. And that's part of what this bill does is remove it. And this cleanup of that paragraph simply makes that clear. And I'll explain that further as we go on, Bill. But if we can go ahead and clean the amendment, I would ask for your aye vote.
Any discussion on the amendment? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Baldwin's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 36, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We're back on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Please, we're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A Wyoming statute, 1914-106, created a free tuition for Wyoming veterans, Wyoming resident war orphans, veterans, and Wyoming educational institutions after World War II. The program has been around for a long time. Recently, the current cost of the overseas combat veterans authorized in that statute was viewed as unsustainable. It has become very costly. It has been used a lot. And, of course, we're in rough waters right now, and all budgets are becoming more scrutinized. And we were under the task on the Transportation Committee to take a look at this and see if we couldn't reduce the cost. I believe we've successfully done so, and we've done so in essentially three ways. We've reduced the amount of tuition and fees by saying that only tuition is paid now, not fees. The second thing we've done is reduced the semester hours from 10 to 8. Previously, the amount of tuition that was paid was for 10 successive semesters. We've reduced that to 8. The third thing we've done is what we just explained a little bit in the amendment, is there's no doubling up on degrees. In other words, if you go to school and get an associate's, you have to progress onward from that associate's to use the 8 semester hours. You can't get another associate's, or if you've gotten a bachelor's, you can't go back and get another bachelor's. You have to succeed past that point. When you go back to obtain a second degree of one kind of degree you've already received, you will do so on your own funding, or the veteran will do so on your own funding. Ultimately, the bottom line of this whole thing is it's a reduction in funds of 24% by the time we get to the year 2021. So it's a significant decrease in what we're paying out. It doesn't change it and remove it entirely. It just makes it more cost-effective than what we're having and continues to provide that education for our veterans. It's been used extensively. As of the spring semester of 2017, it's been used by 880 combat veterans, one spouse, and one surviving dependent. And actually, historically, only around 12% of the participants have used the ninth and the tenth semester hours. So we're not making that much of a dent in what they're doing. The other thing that the bill does is when a person decides to go beyond the bachelor's degree, if they go on to a master's or a PhD degree, it maintains the cost of that at the bachelor's degree. In other words, we're not going to pay master's or PhD fees, which are much, much higher, or the tuition, which is much, much higher than the bachelor's. So we're going to maintain what we're paying at the bachelor's degree and take away that paying for a much higher degree level, which also reduces the level that we're paying for. The other thing we'll do that's important is we're going to grandfather in current program participants to limit the impact on current students. In fiscal year 16, there were 167 participants at UW and at Wyoming Community Colleges, and the average number of program participants is 140 per semester. If we can just look at the bill real quick, I'm not going to bore you in detail, but we'll just work through real quick and look at it and then hopefully move ahead for a vote. The first part of the bill is mostly definitions. It goes back into the statute 1914-106. And on page 2, what we did is we changed that paragraph in the amendment, clarifying that it's not to be used for redundant degrees, rather to use for progressive degrees. And then we corrected in segment B, we've taken away the fees and made that solely the tuition. And then clarified again that it's for successive education and not redundant education. And then on page 3, the funds provided under this section shall not exceed the University of Wyoming current undergraduate weight per semester. So we keep it at that undergraduate level and don't move on to the graduate level, thus, again, saving some money for the program. And at the bottom of page 3, you can see we've reduced the number of semesters from 10 to 8. And same thing on page 4, that's done again on line 3. And on down the page, same thing. Then gives the qualifications of a person in section J, and again talks about the reduction in semester hours. And then finally in section 2, it just gives the permission to go ahead and do that and go ahead and continue to provide this service for the veterans, orphans, widows, et cetera. So it maintains the benefit that the military has enjoyed and is a good benefit for our war veterans. But it reduces the cost to the state of Wyoming, hoping to make this program continue to be viable and continue to be a valuable resource for our veterans. And with that, I would ask for questions and ask for your support in this bill.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify a couple of things. The first, as I understand it, the qualifications for any benefits under this program are paragraph F on page 3. Any person who is a Vietnam veteran not presently receiving education benefits under the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944 as amended, an overseas combat veteran, a combat veteran surviving spouse, or a combat veteran dependent. I think that's the entirety of the list, so it's not all veterans. It's just this list, and maybe I'm missing something else, but I wanted to clarify that. And the next question I have that I'd like clarification on. I'm looking at the fiscal note on the back, and I'm seeing savings of $20,000 in 19 and 20, and then it goes to $140,000. But we've only got the 3 years. My expectation is that the $140,000 is the ongoing savings past that point, and that the reason for the limited savings the first couple of years is due to the grandfathering. So I just wanted clarification on that, or if it's going to go up further beyond the $140,000. And then the final point that I'd like a little more information on is, what is the projected number of eligible individuals moving further out? Do we expect that number to increase further, decline, stay about the same? What can we expect as we look out? And I'll stop there for now. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can catch a couple of those there. I'm not sure if I have the numbers of what the ongoing assumption is out. I think we're using the average of 140. The big part of it is in paid tuition only. We save $344,000 or 29% when we take the fees out. So that's the big savings. And so we go from well over $1 million down to a total appropriation of $856,000. And I've got a nice little sheet here I can share with the good senator from the land of the ivory tower, I guess. Yeah, I haven't used that in a while, Mr. Chairman. And it comes out, so when you look at fiscal year 23-24, of that around $1,031,000. And so we've got a spreadsheet here from 13-14 to 23-24. I can also share that. And you are correct with the assumption that it is overseas combat veterans. So it isn't just a veteran that happens to be deployed someplace, within the country, or spends all of his time in a missile silo, But if you go overseas, then you're allowed. That's the eligibility trigger. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of quick follow-ups just based on the testimony. I'm curious if this legislation passes, if there was discussion about how much less the program would be used, because fees are obviously pretty significant, and I'm concerned that if individuals get the fees tacked on to the fact that they also have to pay their living expenses, that the affordability of an education in Wyoming becomes a challenge. So I'm wondering if other programs are capable of filling that void, or if this is going to be a hardship for these individuals. And then the final question I think I have is regarding the 10 consecutive semesters. Was there discussion, and I realize that's existing language in the 10 semesters moving to 8 semesters, but there are a lot of summer courses now. There are January term courses. Was there any discussion about flexibility and what would be in the interest, Mr. Chairman, of the students to not just have to do it over 8 consecutive semesters, but is there flexibility built in to allow for those summer terms, the January terms, or how has that been handled in the past even? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you. First, you have to realize that this state program dovetails on essentially the GI Bill. The GI Bill gets first. They first get 8 semesters. So a person can actually go through, get the 8 semesters, and then avail themselves to the 8 semesters that we offer. So you've got a total of 16 semesters of educational opportunity. There's some flexibility, no doubt, taken out of this. If I had my druthers, we wouldn't do anything with it. But the problem is that, folks, we got a budget crunch. We are tasked with taking money out of the system, trying to do so with the least possible impact. The folks from the VA wanted us to look at maybe, saying let's put the fees back in. The budget isn't quite as bad as what we thought it was last year. Can we afford that? And we at the committee level said, well, that's going to have to be a floor debate. We're not going to go forward. We're going to go forward with what we were tasked to do. And I think we brought back some good deep cuts in the program without really cutting at the heart of it. And that's what we were meant to do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The one thing we did find as we calculated the fees back in was it negated the whole discussion of the bill. We were back to the original funding scope, and so that's why we, at the committee level, decided to leave those fees out.
Are there any further questions on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 36, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 36 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Nethercott, you may have the privilege of the floor.
Mr. Chairman, thank you so much. I think it's important today to recognize three lovely students here in Laramie County brought by their parents, Sean and Aaron Taylor, Bison, Ava, and Slade Taylor, who are spending their holiday away from school here learning the legislature. So if they would please rise and be recognized.
Yeah.
Well, we welcome you to the legislature.
Thank you.
Okay, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50. The reading clerk will read the bill. Oh, excuse me. I'm out of order. It is Senate File, Joint Resolution 2. Now the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, a joint resolution to commemorate the sesquicentennial of the signing of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, sponsored by Senator Ellis, was referred to Committee Number 6, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with favorable recommendation on Senate Joint File Number 2. There is an amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in, please.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 7, after line 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that amendment, and I will yield to the good Senator Ellis for explanation of the bill and the amendment.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll first describe the purpose of the resolution before describing the amendment. This is a very straightforward resolution to commemorate the 150th anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Fort Laramie, which was done in 1868. And so after a wonderful year of working with a lot of groups around the state, it became apparent that there are a lot of entities that will be having celebratory events, such as the National Park Service. If you're not familiar with Fort Laramie, originally it was inhabited by various Indian nations. The first non-Indian was Robert Stewart, who was known to have occupied the area as early as 1812. And since that time, it served as a really important hub for a lot of Western immigrants. By the late 1850s, more than 50,000 people were traveling the trails through Fort Laramie annually. The United States purchased the Fort Laramie Post in 1849, and they stationed soldiers there to protect these wagon trains. But despite efforts to maintain peace, there were still ongoing conflicts, and so there was a need to try and establish some peace by signing of these treaties. So the history is incredibly fascinating, but as we saw in history tells us, the post was eventually abandoned by the late 1800s, and most of its structures were sold at private auction. However, Wyoming, recognizing the national significance of this place, started acquiring these structures and by the 1930s, and it became a part of the National Park System Unit in 1938. So, Mr. Chairman, this resolution really walks through some of those historical events and milestones, but the intent really is to generate some excitement and interest in Fort Laramie about what these treaties said and what they continue to mean, and hopefully get some visitors wanting to view this part of central Wyoming. The National Park Service has been involved with, coordinating all of the events that will be happening at the fort itself. They've been meeting with many of the tribes who were original signatories to the treaty. And so last week I did provide a handout, which hopefully some of you have, which explains that on Saturday, April 28th, there will be a sunrise to sunset ceremony held at Fort Laramie, and there will be events for non-Indians to attend that should be really remarkable to be a part of. Along those lines, this so I would at this time move, and I believe it's already been moved, Senate Joint Resolution, or to excuse me, Standing Committee number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 2, which you'll see really just wants to highlight and include in this resolution some of those events. And so I'd ask for your favorable consideration of that amendment.
Any question on the amendment?
Some of the
Senator
don't
Anderson.
Have that amendment.
Senator Anderson?
The important ones have it?
Oh,
no. Or the important ones?
It was distributed Friday, I'm told. Any other questions on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment to Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're back on the bill. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I won't take up much more of the committee's, or excuse me, the body's time, but would be happy to answer any questions. I would offer, though, that the meat of this bill comes in the... starting on page 7, where we are start making some requests that in section 1 will be commemorating the 150th anniversary. In section 2, that Wyoming supports nationwide public education about the heritage, history, and contribution of Native American tribes. And that in section 3, and I think this is a very exciting part, Mr. Chairman, that the Wyoming legislature supports permanently displaying in Wyoming original treaties that comprise the 1868 treaty. In doing my research, there is a process going through the National Archives where these treaties are currently stored. And I believe that the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. has these documents currently displayed. So this will be a multi-year effort for us to look into the possibility of housing these documents in Wyoming. But fortunately, our state agencies and some other partners have expressed a willingness to work on this project. So hopefully this is an important first step so that we can get these treaties back home for Wyoming people to appreciate and enjoy and learn a lot more about their history. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer any questions.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsor. On page 8, lines 1 through 2, it says honoring the original intent of the treaty. And my question is, what does that mean, and what is your intent with that?
Does someone want to field that question? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to provide a link to the body so they could read the treaty in full, but it lays out some boundary discussions. You know, this history is a little bit moving. There were some provisions in this treaty that were broken by the federal government, but it does talk about things like providing for education and some other services that that's the what we're alluding to. But I will send a link out to members of this chamber.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, referenced this treaty before. It was a treaty that gave the Indians everything north of Platte River, basically, in the Powder River and the Black Hills to the Indians forever and ever, as long as the rivers flow and the grasses grow. And then the white man took it up back 2 years later because we found gold up there. Kind of gives you an example of how fleeting these agreements are, but that's the agreement of 1868 signed at Fort Laramie.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to continue that history, it actually was a result of the what was called Red Cloud's War. And Red Cloud is one of the, I think, the only Indian Native American that actually won a war against the United States military. He actually managed to win the Fetterman's Massacre and get the United States government to withdraw from those forts along the Front Range throughout Sheridan County and even up into Montana at Fort Smith. But
And I would like to point out that I have a serious concern with this because my family has homesteaded this area. And so, I mean, ranchers have lived there for my family over 100 years. And so when we talk about the original intent of the treaty, we actually have a Supreme Court decision that supports returning that land to the Native Americans, or at least making a settlement with them. And that was called the United States versus the Lakota Sioux. And the Lakotas actually won that lawsuit. The original payment for this area was $17 million, and then an increase of 5% per year for a total settlement of $105 million, and I believe that case was in the 1970s or 80s. And the Lakota Sioux said, well, we don't want your money. We want your land back. And so I have some serious concerns about this resolution as it concerns every ranch in my community and also my family's ranch.
Senator Case.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So that history is fairly accurate. The earlier treaties signed promised the tribes in the region that we wouldn't interfere in that region. And then we put the Bozeman Trail through as a shorter way to the Montana goldfields. And that was a violation of an earlier treaty. And that history is also true that the United States military was forced to withdraw from the Bozeman Trail after the Fetterman Massacre, which happened a couple of years earlier to this treaty and was the largest massacre before the other massacre at Little Bighorn. It was a huge, astounding event at the time where 82 people died. But you know what? We need to pass this resolution because the Fort Laramie Treaty was absolutely an extraordinary event, and it's matched at the very same year with the Fort Bridger Treaty. And these are astounding events in the history of Wyoming, the history of Native people, the history of the United States of America. And let's not lose sight of the fact that this legislature needs to take notice of that. Yes, there may be some words that you might prefer to change, and I urge you to bring amendments. But let's not react by saying, oh, this is stupid. We're not going to do this. This is an incredibly historic, significant event, which has had tension on all sides and has brought both successes and tremendous failures in some instances. But we need to look at our history, and we need to note this, and we need to move forward. I commend the sponsor of this resolution, who put a lot of work into this, tremendous amount of work, worked with the Tribal Relations Committee. And, yes, there might be things that you can't agree with, and let's try to work on language, perhaps. But, listen, this thing is really important. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want everybody to know that it was never my intent to believe that this was stupid. In fact, I believe that this is very important. As a historian, this is huge. It's huge not only to my family, but to also the area that I represent. So it was never my intent. It was the point to bring up the fact that this is a controversial issue, and maybe more so than you realize.
Senator Case.
I gave that impression that I thought the good senator's statements were not appropriate or belittle this. I did not mean to do that. I understand. Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate the discussion about this, and you just can't or just want to emphasize that, you know, given some of the discussion we've had at a national level about how we discuss history, you know, this is, it's not always a pretty history, and I'm really happy that I've received the feedback I have from my colleagues. Happy to look at some language that will ease your concerns to say that this is not an attempt for the state of Wyoming to somehow alter land ownership. But just wanted to remind the body that we have in the past sent resolutions to our congressional leaders to uphold some of their other treaty obligations in terms of what they're supposed to provide for health care and education and those types of services. So happy to work on a second reading amendment, but just urge the body to consider this because the history is fascinating and, you know, certainly there are very sad and dark components of that, but that's worth our knowledge and that's worth us helping other people to learn about and be excited about knowing.
Any further discussions on the bill? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate Joint Resolution 2, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
The Senate Joint Resolution has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 50, Collection of State Financial Obligations, an act relating to financial obligations owed to the state, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, was referred to Committee Number 3, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Ellis, Kinski, Peterson, and Wasserberger, Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, they do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 50. For further explanation on this good Senate file, I defer to the good Senator, Senator Case.
Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just got caught off guard on that one. My own fault, though. Mr. Chairman, what this bill does is to allow for the use of third-party collection folks to help us to collect funds owed the state of Wyoming. We can actually do that now, but to pay for that, now we take it out of the obligations owed. What this actually, the bill does, is to allow an additional assessment of 20% to pay for those collection fees. Will it actually be 20%? We don't know. It'll be competitively bid, and it might be less than 20%. But the essence of this is that if you owe back taxes and they're turned over for collection, there can be a surcharge on those taxes and 20% more to pay for the collection fees. It'll make a difference. Happy to answer any questions.
Senator Von Flatteren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering on, this would be page 2 on XBX. It's and remitted to the department. So I was wondering about, can they collect less than the full amount and still, and then deduct their charges from that full amount? Or is it full amount? They can only collect full amount plus the charges that they would incur or charge us at that point? Because I think on page 3, collection on line 910, it says the collection agency shall collect a fee with the tax that is submitted for collection, and the amount collected as a fee may be deducted from the funds. So I assume if you owe us a dollar, they take their 20%, so we get 80 cents, or can they even settle for 50 cents and take their 20 cents?
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I'd also like to point out this is not about property taxes, which come under the, you know, our local treasurers can already assess 18% interest on property taxes. But it, with regards to the collections, this actually raises the amounts due by the 20% so that we get our full amount. That's the purpose of this bill. That's why it's allowing for the extra 20%. They don't get to do both, take 20% and make a deal that's less, you know, less than the full amount due. So we get the full amount of money, collection agency, depending on the contract that's made with them, may get up to, by law, 20%, and we get all our money. The taxpayer, though, is the one that bears the brunt of the 20%.
Any further questions on the bill? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 50, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Senate File 50 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our Consideration is Senate File 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 13, School Facility Property Insurance, an act relating to school district facilities, sponsored by Senator Scott, was referred to Committee Number 4, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger. Senator Coe, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, moving the committee of the whole rights report to do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 13. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 13, Standing Committee Amendments Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Mr. Chairman, move the amendment, and for an explanation of the standing committee amendment and the bill, I defer to Senator Scott.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is as a result of a sunset date that we put in last year. Last year, the bill on this subject required that there be property insurance for school districts for their basically their school buildings or other major buildings. You can see that on page 2, lines 2 and 3 in the existing law language. What we did last year was we asked to have the insurance department, though it turned out there was a joint powers board that provided coverage for a number of the school districts. We asked the insurance department to examine that joint powers board, particularly to make sure they were financially solvent, because this is just what they were doing is just like insurance. It is subject to wishful thinking, where you don't have a claim for a while. You say, gee, we can save some money by not having so much reserves. That hadn't happened here. They came back with a clean bill of health, some recommendations for improving some procedural matters, but basically a clean bill of health. What this bill does is to remove the sunset date, which is seen at on page 2, line 18, that says until July 1, 2018, which is coming up, and that was put in case there was something found that we had to remedy legislatively and we had to drive a bill through this place. We need to remove that sunset date because, strictly speaking, joint powers coverage is not insurance. That has to come through somebody licensed under Title 26 to be called insurance. So that's what the bill does. In addition, the bill is introduced, went on to say every fifth year, starting in 2022, we're going to have this redone. That is not central to the purpose of this bill. I think it would be wise, Mr. Chairman, to do that because, as I said, these things are subject to wishful thinking setting in, and we suddenly find we got claims and not enough resources to pay them. But the committee felt it was not necessary in this bill, and they took it out. That's the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to urge the Senate to adopt the Standing Committee, but I'm also going to urge the Management Council that we've got a number of these things out here, Joint Powers Board, providing coverage, and nobody looks at their financial solvency. We probably ought to develop not a singular remedy for just this particular one, but we need to look at the whole sweep of them because there are risks. I know after we passed the bill last year, Mr. Chairman, a very similar insurance arrangement, coverage provided by something like a joint powers board down state of Texas, doing exactly what ours does, very similar to it, went broke, went belly up. And it's a real risk in this area. But I think we need to have a broader solution to that than just concentrating on this education one. So I urge the Senate at this point to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment and would stand for any questions on it.
Any questions on the amendment?
Questions.
Hearing none, and we've had a question called for. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment 1, Senate File 13, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 13 is passed. We're back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I've explained the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to rise and commend the sponsor of the bill.
for reaching out, working with our select committee on school facilities. You can see the names attached there too. Both of the co-sponsors of the bill serve on that committee, and appreciate him working through that effort the way he did, and I commend the bill for your support. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 13, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 13 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25, Corrections Exception to Defense of Habitation Law, an act relating to crimes and offenses, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, was referred to Committee Number 1, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Christensen, Hicks, Kinski, and Nethercott. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 25, Corrections Exception to the Defense of Habitation Law. To present this bill will be Senator Kinski.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I remember well the first time I went to prison.
It was for a long time.
This is the University of Wyoming project, and we had a wonderful, brilliant professor that introduced me to a real cavalcade of characters, many of whom, though a life gone wrong, were brilliant. And they spent a lot of time in the prison library, and they learned a lot of things in the prison library, and a lot of them were very talented at bringing lawsuits alleging violations of constitutional rights and violations of state statutes. So there's one state statute which, in the nomenclature of the layman, is called the Castle Doctrine, which says that if you are in your home and somebody forces their way in, you're within your rights to defend yourself. And that statute is Wyoming Statute 6-2-602. That statute does have an exemption for a peace officer who enters or attempts to enter another's home or habitation in the performance of their official duties. So it turns out that when a prison guard has to force their way into an inmate's cell, there are folks who are pro bono lawyers that are willing to take the case and basically sue for a violation of the Castle Doctrine. Now, I don't know that that's happened, but it has been asserted. And so this bill is a very simple bill on page 2, lines 3 to 4, where you see the exception for a peace officer. We have added the words, or employee of the Wyoming Department of Corrections. And lower on lines 13 to 14, where we describe buildings, modular units, trailers, campers, and tents, we add, but does not include the inmate housing area of a jail or a state penal institution. And again, on lines 16 through 18, the same exemption. This is sponsored by your Joint Judiciary Committee, the best committee, standing committee in the legislature, at the urging of the Department of Corrections. I'd urge the body's favorable consideration.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, quick question. We have a number of community corrections organizations in this state that are, I think, in part privately run. Are they covered by this legislation as well?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. And another question for the sponsor is, if we exclude the inmate housing or jail area of a penal institution, whether housing area of a jail or state penal institution, if we exclude that, then why do we have to add the Department of Corrections into the top one? I mean, you know, outside of those two things, I'm struggling to know when Department of Corrections would come to my house and want to come in. But, you know, you never know where I've been either, so.
And Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure about the good senator from the center of the state's question, but on the second one, the testimony was that people from the Wyoming Department of Corrections might do parole checks in people's homes. So that's why we added that on page 2, little Roman at 3. But I'll leave my committee for the other senator's question.
Chairman, thank you. I don't know that I could improve on the senator from Rock Springs' answer with regard to probation and parole in the home. And then with regard to my friend from Bates Creek, that's a question that I will have to get an answer to, assuming that it survives Committee of the Whole and moves forward. I'll have an answer by the second, certainly no later than the third reading. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further questions on the bill? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Christensen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 25, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
Beg to leave. Sit and rise and leave.
Hope I'm not taking your stuff.
You're by your leave, my lord.
Standing committee reports.
February 16, 2018. Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred Senate File 60, Wyoming Women's Suffrage Pathway Highway Designation, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Meyer, Chairman. February 19, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 4, to whom was referred Senate File 96, Early Childhood Education, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman. February 16, 2018, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred Senate File 84, Motor Vehicle Registration, Deployed Military Members, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Excused, Senator Agar. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Members of the Senate, when I introduced her earlier, she was taking care of a House member. No, not really. We have our nurse with us, Marcia Van Fleet from Rocky Mountain Care. Let's welcome her officially to the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears my desk.
Mr. Chairman, before I make the motion, may I propose you the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We made a phone call this morning with respect to Larry's funeral arrangements. As we talked about, that's going to be Wednesday. There's a Wiederspahn. Wiederspahn's holds about 92. The family's requested 25 seats, so there is some space there. My concern was if there can be room for anybody else. So apparently it's a larger space, but you never know. But the Larry was in fellowship with the First United Methodist Church, and his best estimate would be somewhere around 40 minutes to an hour of the length of the service. So we'll start trying to figure that out, but I just thought I'd share that information with you. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Okay, announcement. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning, Tuesday, February 20th at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room, Senate 18, to hear a couple of non-controversial bills. First one is Senate File 113, Community Development Districts. The next one is Senate File 114, Town and County Development Regulations. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet at about 12:30 in Jonah Room S18 to consider Senate File 56, Real Property as Collateral Bond, Senate File 79, Vertical Takeoff and Landing Aircraft Regulation, Senate File 100, Economic Diversification Broadband Services.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 6, Travel. We'll meet tomorrow morning, Jonah Room 54, at 8 a.m. to consider Senate File 99, State Fair Horse Racing Events, and Senate File 110, Paramutual Events Horse Racing Account.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet upon adjournment today to continue work on state-funded capital construction. That's Senate File 121. And if we have time, we'll take up Senate File 95, Medicare Discrimination. That's a re-referral.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, your committee, Joint Agriculture, number 5, will be meeting Tuesday, 15 minutes upon adjournment. In Jonah Room L54, we have a hearing with the U.S. Forest Service. From both Region 2 and Region 4, we will have the regional foresters there to discuss forestry issues and forestry health. That's an open meeting. If you want to find out what's going on your national forest in the state of Wyoming, I would encourage you to attend.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, 30 minutes after the noon recess, to take up Senate File 49, Disposition of State School Land Revenue, Senate File 98, Severance Tax Exemption, Senate File 111, Property Taxation Digital Currencies, and Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project. And also, Mr. President, just by way of announcement, there is a luncheon being provided in L51 as we speak by our WAMSAC friends, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Centers. And I understand it's pretty good food, so that is going on right now for all legislators down in L51.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader or Mr. Vice President, we have a Rules Committee meeting tomorrow. Would one of you like to make that announcement, please? Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Rules will meet tomorrow morning, Tuesday, February 20th at 8:30 a.m. in Jonah Room S19 to consider Senate File 67, Wyoming Public Lands Day, Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program.
Any other announcements? You heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. The Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Good morning.